Well, let's have a Bible reading about one of the very wonderful Old Testament types of Christ, the striking of the rock and the water that flowed out from it. This happened twice, and the first occasion is recorded in the 17th chapter of Exodus. Reading from verse 1, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle athirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? This first occasion of the striking of the rock and water being brought out of it is a wonderful picture, I believe, of what the Lord Jesus went through on the cross. This rod that Moses was told to take was the rod that he had used to strike the river Nile and to bring up the plagues in judgment. And so when the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he was struck by the rod of God's judgment. Now he had no sin of his own, but he was bearing our sin. And we're told Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And by the Lord Jesus taking our place at the cross and suffering all that he did there, he has been able to bring life and refreshment to us. But when the water was brought out of the rock, of course, it was only enjoyed by those who were willing to stoop down and drink. Some of you may know the song that says, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Some of you who are listening to me just now have been trying these broken cisterns. Not much to it, is there? It really isn't worth it. There isn't any real satisfaction, is there? Well, you'll find that satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. If you would come to him just now for the forgiveness of your sins and accept him as your Savior, you'd be able to say like the rest of us, He took my place, He died for me, and I have life and refreshment because of what He did for me. Now, the other occasion of the striking of the rock and the water coming out is recorded in Numbers 20. The book of Numbers, chapter 20. This time the congregation were again complaining because there was no water, and they said in verse 3, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And verse 5, Wherefore have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? So Moses and Aaron went to the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, and fell on their faces, verse 6 says, And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod. Now this is not Moses' rod, this is Aaron's rod. The rod, referred to in these passages, is always Aaron's rod. Now Moses' rod was a rod of judgment. Aaron's rod was a rod that showed that he was the true high priest. That's the one that budded and bore almonds You remember that time that God was using that to show who was really his high priest. And that stands for the blessing that flows from Christ as our high priest in glory. Take the rod, he said, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, now he was told to speak to the rock, but he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rock, with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Now the Lord did not intend for the rock to be struck the second time, just as he does not intend for the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified again. The 10th chapter of Hebrews tells us over and over that the Lord Jesus did this once, and that once is enough. There's no reason for a perpetual sacrifice. There's no reason for a repetition of offering up Christ as a sacrifice. Once was enough. And he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But we still do need to come to him and speak to the rock. We need to come to the Lord Jesus as our high priest now in heaven and get refreshment and blessing day by day. He only needed to die for our sins once, but he needs to live for us every day, and he is living for us. Now in 1 Corinthians 10, he makes it very plain that what I'm saying is perfectly true, that the Lord Jesus is the antitype. He is the one pictured by this Old Testament story of smiting the rock. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, we read, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses, in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now the Lord Jesus is often called a rock in Scripture. You probably know that wonderful old hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Well, that's taken from the 26th chapter of Isaiah. He is the Rock of Ages. He is the hiding place. Isaiah 57 tells us that a man shall be in hiding place, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's the foundation stone. According to 1 Corinthians 3, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Peter says that he is not only a foundation stone, but that he is a precious stone. And then we're told that he is the headstone of the corner. And we're waiting for the headstone or the capstone of the building to be brought forth. So the Lord Jesus, then, is God's rock. The word rock, of course, refers to his eternal stability, to his unchangeableness. Now, God has had different ways of dealing with people in different dispensations. We don't wait for the manna to be sent down from heaven now. Rather, we trust the Lord to give us the work that we need, or the crops that we need, and to give us the things that we need through a grocery store. But he still is the same. He's still giving us those things. He has worked in different ways, but he is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So the Lord Jesus is the unchanging one. We're told in Matthew chapter 7, what's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said that a wise man builds his house on the rock, while a foolish man builds his on the sand. I would like to ask you, have you ever put your trust in the Lord Jesus? Are you depending on Him? Is He the spiritual rock in whom you trust? Have you gotten refreshment and life from Him? Now, don't tell me about your church, and don't tell me about your pastor. Don't tell me about your baptism or your good works, but tell me about your trust in Christ. Have you really trusted Him? If you have, you know what I'm talking about, the life and refreshment that flowed from Him when you stooped that time to drink. Some will not stoop. Some consider themselves good enough. Some consider themselves responsible and able to meet that responsibility, and they say, well, I think it's up to me to save myself. But some of us have learned that we must stoop and drink if we're ever to be refreshed. And then, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, are you learning about Him as the one to whom you can come daily? 1 Corinthians 10 says, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Now, that expression is to help us to understand that all through our wilderness journey, we'll always find refreshment and help in the Lord Jesus if we turn back to Him. And this agrees with the New Testament teaching. Hebrews 7 and 25 says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Our Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God for us, and we can come to Him daily and get from Him the refreshment and the blessing that we need. As the Holy Spirit came in answer to His prayer at His return to the Father, so refreshment comes to us daily when we turn to the Lord Jesus to find it in Him. Shall we thank Him? We do thank Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou hast done all this for us, that Thou hast become the rock of refreshment for us. We pray that all who are listening will put their trust in Thee. We ask it for Thine own name's sake. Amen.